This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Rebecca Minkoff is our guest today, and I cannot wait to chat with her. She just released a new book recently, so if you haven't already checked that out, check it out, because, she's already here. Prompt, I love it. We're going to be getting to some questions, what it's like to be a female entrepreneur. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I was just trying to remember, we did an Instagram live during COVID already because I believe you were on the floor of your bathroom.
This is correct. We did one when I was doing them every single day for like 5 months.
Every single day.
Yes. I was like, let's take people's mind off the news and interview interesting people. And yeah, every day for 5 or 6 months. And then we were like, okay, we got to get back to work. This is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean, booking people like that is a whole other thing. And then in the beginning of COVID, it was very easy and then became totally different after that. But yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to talk to you, not only because, as you know, I'm a huge fan, but also because I think your story is so interesting and also can speak to so many women who also want to be entrepreneurs or are entrepreneurs and also working moms, which is such a big topic. And I'm a year into motherhood and it can be very overwhelming. So I want to know like every tip you have, but first let's take, cause we got some like entrepreneur related questions, which I think is of course what your book is about and also what you talk about. But I want to take people back just to when you first started Rebecca Minkoff, which I think is obviously takes a lot of guts to do. And there are so many people who are might be watching now or watch later that have an idea, but don't really know how to actually execute on that. So can you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, for sure. So when I started, we didn't have things like websites and direct to consumer. It just wasn't a thing. So I think today, if you're thinking about starting something, a business, it's way easier to get started. You know, you open something on Shopify, you have an Instagram. That being said, it's also a lot more crowded and noisy. And So I think you really have to have a firm handle on what you stand for as a brand, your look and feel. What is your brand promise to people, if you will? Like, why are they going to join your tribe? And I think people are being tribal right now. They want to know that if they're wearing your logo or supporting you, that they also agree to what you stand for. So I think while people might spend a lot of time on business plans, that's important, but spend the time on your brand plan. And I think that's where you can really cut through. Even if you have a white t-shirt company, you know, What makes you different? How are you more interesting than another white t-shirt company?
Yeah, I love that. I think it also, you know, speaks to this. I think a lot of people have a huge amount of fear because what you're saying about the level of noise that there is in this world today, there are a lot of people who, you know, because of the ease that it's not like it was when you started, it's very different and people can, you know, start something much faster than they used to be able to. What do you say to people who have fear or hesitancy with that process or just think that they'll, you know, start something that it will stop? Because there's a level of drive that I feel like, you know, it was very, very big for people who were starting companies and now maybe isn't as existent or some companies don't necessarily see it as much as they once did. Do you have any tips for that? Because you're a very driven woman.
So I think, and I'll answer this in two parts. I called my book Fearless, not because I expected anyone to read it and be like, I have no fear.
I'm fearless.
I'm still not fearless. But why I called it that is we take this emotion that's meant to keep us safe and protect us from real, true dangers like fire or killers in the woods. Like I firmly believe there's only killers in the woods. And then we say, okay, I'm going to let it stop me from going after my dream, my passion. And you have to begin to say, okay, that emotion that's trying to protect me is the thing that's going to stop me in business or personal relationships. So I talk a lot about looking at it like a muscle. You know, the more that you flex it and build it and grow it, you get stronger at pushing that fear aside. And I also like to look at it as, with every risk you take, sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. With every failure, I'm sure you can recall you've had, you learned a hard lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you reframe it, and anytime I fail, I'm like, okay, what did I learn? Then it's not this stigma of like, I'm going to go crawl under the desk. And you might feel that way for a minute, but it gets easier to overcome that. And mm-hmm. you do get stronger at it. So now when I'm failing, I'm like, all right, I'm failing. I'm going to fail fast. Let's recap what the learnings were. How do I change that for the better?
Was there a big failure that you can reflect on that caused you to change that? Because it is hard sometimes if you have a failure to not sit in that failure and to actually look at it, learn from it, and then move on. Was there something that you can reflect on that was a big prominent failure or something, or I guess failure, or you can look at it as blessing because it got you to where you are today and be able to learn from them?
Yeah, I think a big and funny, not funny back then, but funny now, was when we first had our overseas factory and I didn't have anyone in quality control. And I was like, it's probably fine. They make for Kate Spade and Tory Burch and Marc Jacobs. It'll be fine. Who needs to do quality control? And they ended up making bags that had Kate Spade hardware on Rebecca Minkoff bags. And then my customer got to find this out before me and gave me a nickname. It wasn't as cool as Bennifer. It was Quebecca Spankoff.
Oh, no.
And that was horrific. And I had to turn it into a learning. Obviously, it's worth the money to hire quality control. I did crawl under the table. I did cry. You know, it's not like I just laughed it off. But then we said, how do we turn this into something? And we turned it into like this Willy Wonka contest. Like, if you can find all the bags that exist, we'll send you a free new one. And so what happened is we changed the narrative and we had all these people trying to find bags and send them into us and get free bags in exchange. So I think that's a big one. I think a more recent one, because I still fail, is me and my team creatively had some differing opinions. And I kind of pummeled my way through and the end result was not what anyone wanted. And I was like, you guys are right. I should have listened to you. And I think owning it and taking responsibility for it, you know, the team wasn't as demoralized. It was like, oh yeah, everyone's human. We all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so when we own up to them, take responsibility for them, and I say, I'm going to go forward. I'm really going to lean into you and listen to you more. I think as a leader, it's important to do that too.
You also talk a lot about, when you talk about mothering or in your book or just business in general, the importance of surrounding yourself with people that are honest with you, supportive, but also are going to be there to help you learn. And I'm such a big believer in that. My mom's always talked about the importance of that. And I think especially as, you know, we live in this world that we live in and, you know, people might think that you're friends in certain ways, having people who are actually real people around you that will tell it to you like it is, give you feedback like your team is giving you, not just agree with whatever you have to say, but, you know, share their thoughts is so important. And it's also important in motherhood. Can you kind of explain that kind of direct correlation there?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think people have to get really good at critical feedback that's positive and meant to help change,
mm-hmm.
and negative that's, and critical when they want to help you, you are going to hear something negative sometimes. And then there's the people whose tone to you is what you watch out for. It's the people that are like, I was just trying to help, you know, like you can sort of begin to sort of go like, were they trying to help, or were they genuinely trying to make me feel worse? And I think when you can get your radar on the person who's trying to help you, that all you just leave the room always feeling terrible, and someone who's going to be honest with you and tell it like it is, and you don't want to hear that, but they're like, hey, I really want you to know that I care about you. And I think it's important that, you know, you notice A, B, C, and D. And I think bringing that into your personal, are your friends or your partners people that you feel great around or terrible, mm-hmm. you know? And I think if you can begin to get rid of the people that make you feel terrible and down all the time or doubting yourself or second guessing, and it can be very insidious. It can be something you barely notice, but you're just always like, I always do like a check after I leave someone, like, how am I feeling? Am I yeah. invigorated and energized, or I feel like the air just got sucked out of me and I'm tapped out? And mm-hmm. that's a good way for me to be like, oh, not going to hang out with them again.
Yeah.
And so I think you could do it on all levels, business and personal.
Yeah. I also think that especially in this past year that we've had, people focus on that even more because your time is so important. And I also feel that as like a mom transitioning into motherhood, and which I really want to talk to you about because you have three kids, which like amazing.
I like Catherine, they grow with each child.
Oh, good. Great. I think like running, you know, the empire that you're running, being a working mom, it's something that I look at what you're doing and obviously look up to, admire you, all that you're doing, and also your ability to balance it all and also be real. Like when we did our Instagram live last year and you were on your bathroom floor, I was like, this I love because it's very real. It's like how every mom in the world was feeling, like I'm going to hide in my bathroom while my children are out there. And I just love that part of you and that part that you share, because I think it's so important. And I want to go back to when you had your first child. Is he 8 or 9?
He's 10.
10. Okay. Even better. So 10 years old. So 10 years ago, and you have your company and then you have a baby. So you're introduced to motherhood and it's a different kind of a baby, not your business. And the transition from being a working woman and then coming in and trying to balance motherhood and your career, how did that transition go?
Yeah, it was very interesting because prior to having my son, I worked till midnight almost every night. I worked weekends. I was always traveling. My husband and I were both building our careers at that time. So we were just like high-fiving each other. And then he came and I was like, oh no, I'm leaving at 6. I want to be home for dinner. He's going to go to the office for his lunch every day when I was breastfeeding. And so I think, you know, it was the biggest shock to my co-founder and brother because he was like, wait, where's my friend? You're used to be here with me late at night. And we had to have a lot of honest conversations. And I said, you might choose to continue to work late. And that's you, how you, you know, you do you with your family. This is how I'm going to do me with mine. So I think that it was about beginning to test my boundaries. What's working too late? What's traveling too much? When does he come with me? When does he not? Mm-hmm. And I just had to sort of put blinders on to what other mothers were doing and what I was seeing, especially on social media, because I had to figure out for myself, what's my version of this going to look like? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I made it even harder on myself. Like I look back, I used to take, you know, for the first year, I would take the kid with me wherever I went. If that was China, Korea, France, London, I did a 2-month trip with my kid where we did go to China, Korea, London and Paris with the nanny, with the luggage, with the pump. And I go, you know, that was hell, but I had my kid with me. So it was less hellish in some ways. Mm-hmm. And then it obviously changes when you have more kids. And so, you know, I'll never forget, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I was like, I'm not going to do emails on the weekends. And I felt like I had to up until that point. And then I was like, wow, someone else gets a weekend and I get a weekend and we're not curing cancer. We're not solving world hunger. Everyone can live. Mm-hmm. And I think as you just begin to figure out, okay, what does it look like for me? You just have to put it there and it doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, if COVID did one thing as a silver lining, like it reinforced for me that I need to be present around my family more. And mm-hmm. how do I shift work to make that happen? And how do I make sure that my team feels the same way, which they know is important to us too.
When you're talking about boundaries, I love boundaries. I'm big on boundaries, especially as I've gotten older, but that doesn't mean that they're easy to implement and also easy to stand by. How do you, I think a lot of people and women too, especially working women that also have a family they want to balance, struggle with being consistent with boundaries and also implementing them and standing firm on them. Do you have any tips for that?
Yes, they're not tips that anyone wants going to want to hear, but I will say this. I've been watching this and say, oh, it must be so easy. She owns her own business. Of course she can have boundaries. I work for someone and they're demanding and, you know, many things that I've heard women say. And my reply to that is twofold. It's COVID has shown us what's going on behind me, right? And what's going on behind you for everyone. I have a sick kid in the corner. My mom was walking back and forth. So you know that there's a personal life that can't be hidden anymore. So you need to use that to your advantage to say, this is my life. Here's, I'm going to bring you the products. When I do them, how I do them, when I get them done, you know, let me build out my ideal and then again, work towards it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to also say the part that no one wants to hear is the cavalry's not coming for us. You know, no person's going to sit there when you get back from maternity leave and say, you look engorged. Do you need a pump? Should we pause the Zoom meeting so you can pump? No, you have to be like, I'm back. These are my pumping hours. I will take my Zooms here. Please work around my schedule. If you need me, I can somehow readjust by 10 or 15 minutes. And we have to demand that things change because they will never change if we don't stick our neck out. Mm-hmm. And millions of people have done that, our predecessors before, whether it was the right to vote or get a credit card or apply for a mortgage. So we can't sit back and hope that it'll change, that some man CEO is watching this and is like, oh, I'm going to change everything now. We have to demand it. And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we have to get very comfortable with doing the things that are uncomfortable. I pumped in a boardroom. I pumped in a bathroom stall. I cleared out an entire Japanese meeting because the men couldn't handle that I had to pump. But I was like, sorry, guys, do you want to keep the meeting going or not? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did that come with also, you know, with you traveling and then also, you know, trying to implement these boundaries for yourself? Did that come with guilt and also, you know, like leaving your kids, not being necessarily if you had to be home at a certain time? I mean, being even guilty for your first baby, which is your company, not paying as much attention to your company. I mean, I'm sure that came with like a pull there.
Yeah. I think as a woman, we're going to feel guilty no matter what. You know, my most extreme, like, okay, this is never going to go away, was when I was asked to speak at a conference in the Bahamas. And in exchange for speaking, I got to bring my family. So I was there for work. They got to have a great time because I was there. And when I left them to go work, I was like guilty that I left them. And I was like, wait, they're having the time of their lives because mom's working. So like the fact that I feel guilty or that I'm with them and I'm like, maybe I should be networking at this conference. Like, I was like, I can't win and I'm going to drive myself crazy. So feel the guilt, know that it's there. It'll probably never go away for me, but I try and just out create that feeling when I feel that way and know that you can never have everything all at once. And so something's going to have to give sometimes.
What was it like? I mean, you've mentioned that you also work with your brother. You still work with your brother, right?
I do. Yeah. He's my business partner.
So how has that been? Because I'm very close with my siblings. And also you hear people who say, never work with your family. But yeah. Then you also, you know, see stories like yours and experiences like yours. And it seems also so fun because you're siblings. What has that experience been like? And then especially coming back and wanting to put in boundaries. I feel like I would say that's my brothers. And they'd be like, really? Yeah.
Yes. So for us, it's been good, bad, ugly, all the things as it would be with any business partner. Mm-hmm. I think the thing you have to be careful of when it is your siblings is you can go to dark places that you would never go with someone else, mm-hmm. maybe a best friend. And so many years ago, we implemented like a business counselor that would sit down with us and hear our feelings, not mental health stuff, but just from a business perspective, and try and get us back on the same ground. And so we usually do a yearly summit. We all get together, we air the good, the bad, the ugly. He tells us where we're airing. We come out of there with like new things in writing about how we're going to treat each other, behave, the new boundaries we're setting. And so I think it helps to consistently do that. But I will say, and I can't say this for all partnerships, like I can trust him implicitly, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when we got an investor back in 2012, he negotiated that agreement and I was like, I trust you, you got this. Mm-hmm. And he had my best interest in mind. So there are huge payoffs and then there's those bumps in the road.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's, it sounds like such a dream situation to be able to work with your sibling and to also have it go well, but having a business, would you call it a business moderator?
Mediator.
Mediator. That sounds like smart to do regardless if it's your sibling or not, but just to be able to have that person in there, because sometimes you're so close to it that it, you know, can blur the lines there.
For sure.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest difference from being a working mom with one to three?
The schedule is more chaotic. We are managing three different schedules right now, all the ancillary extracurricular activities. You know, I think when I would get home from work with one, it was just one person's needs. Now there's three voices that want to tell me about their day and all the, and all want my full attention. I guess the good news is the second and the third don't know any different.
Yeah.
They've had to share me since day one. But definitely different, and different ages. I have different ages and different sexes who want different things. So sometimes I see my sister-in-law who had four boys and then one girl, like all the boys. And I realize this isn't typical. Everyone has different scenarios. All the boys do the sports. It's like one chunk that she can cross off her list. And then the girl's her own thing. I have a girl in the middle. So we're constantly like gymnastics, soccer. And that divide is more, it's just different because of where they, what their interests are really.
But how do you not get overwhelmed by that? Because if you're in New York City and you are running a company like yours, you have three children, you're running around different things and, you know, also being a present parent and wife, I also want to talk about partnerships, but it's, how do you not get like crazy overwhelmed by all of that?
I definitely can. I definitely can and do. My husband always thinks when I get silent, that's my way of showing it. He's like, are you mad at me? Did I do something? And I'm like, no, I'm just stressed out of my mind. But I think as much as I have a great team that makes Rebecca Minkoff go round, you know, who's your team at home? And so my husband and I have had very clear conversations of shared roles and responsibilities. It's 50-50, or I should say 100-100. So he's making the lunches and I'm taking the kids to school, or I'm making dinner and he's cleaning up. Like there's no line in the sand that says only the mom does this. Mm-hmm. We also have a nanny that also helps. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's about building your team. If you don't have a nanny, is it your grandmother, mother, sister, you know, who's your tribe that helps? And I think the most overwhelming part is, it's probably just where we live, right? New York City is not easy. You don't just get to go in the car and drive somewhere. So I think for me, it's managing the mayhem of the added randomity of the city. But I definitely get stressed out for sure, especially around like Fashion Week or these really busy time periods for us. Mm-hmm. And then I just have to be honest and be like, babe, I'm going to fall short for the next 2 weeks. Like, yeah. And I go to him, I say, I'm going to fall short in these areas. Where do you want me to staff up or hire or help you? Or how can I support you so that it's not just all falling on you? Or he'll do the same. Babe, I have a shoot for the next 2 weeks. And then I'll be like, cool. I know exactly where my holes are and how do I sort of figure those things out?
Is there something that you do every single day to kind of try and avoid being overwhelmed or staying on the same page? Is it a check-in with your husband? Is it something that you do in your guys' routine every single day to not just be kind of, you know, ships passing in the night?
I will say there's a lot of ships passing in the night. We usually do our check-ins, I'd say, on Sundays. And it's like, let's get, you know, team up and plan out the week ahead. And where are you crazy? Where are your early mornings? And I think that really helps to get our schedules aligned. So I think, yeah, for us, it's like weekly. But there's times when we are ships passing the night. We're that right now. So
yeah,
it does happen in a relationship. And I think even if I just high five him, I'm like, I see you, you know, like,
yeah,
or a hug in the kitchen between taking the kids to different places. Like, I think as a parent, you have to set your expectations that sometimes you're just in it. And while the partner is important, your kids might need more of your attention in different phases of their lives. And then they turn 12 apparently and hate your guts. Then you get to see each other more.
When did you learn that? Because I feel like that's something that I know I have a lot of my girlfriends who either just had their first baby or their second. And I constantly am hearing them talk to me about expectations with their partners. Like, when did you have that moment of adjusting your expectations or that even being something that you would even need to do?
I think you just started seeing it. You're like, oh, wow, we used to go out every night and like finish conversations. And then our first kid started talking and now we don't get to finish conversations. Or then you add two and it's just like, who's on first? Mm-hmm. And I think we just have always had an agreement. Like if something's up, bring it out in the open right away. And so we definitely talk a lot about the fact that we can't have a conversation with our kids when they're around, you know? Yeah. So those more important or stressful conversations happen when they've gone to bed or if we have a date night. Just because it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. How did you do all of your balancing with motherhood? And is that a child right there?
That's a child. Yes.
I love it.
Screen that I perfectly set up has gone broken so we could do this.
Oh my God, this is amazing. But when your book came out, I mean, you also launched in the pandemic and you know, like how did you balance that with everything else that you have going on? Because I think there are a lot of people who, again, look at all the different things that you're doing and you have a way of making them get done. But there is also, you know, the part of it that, you know, leaves you stressed or overwhelmed as a mother. Are there any kind of tricks that you have for balancing all that?
What I would say is I try and hire generals, right? And when I say that, it's people that can take that baton and take it to the finish line. And I've been really fortunate with the team that I have at Rebecca Minkoff that when my book is coming out and we're planning this event, I have people that I can go to bed knowing they have their part of their job covered. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen immediately. I've had people that were definitely not generals that you're micromanaging and your word isn't going to get done. And I think I'm also honest with my kids, like leading up to the book launch, I was like, guys, I'm going to be a little bit scatterbrained. I'm going to be more stressed out. I might not be fully present with you for the next 2 weeks, but I'm here. Just know that I'm launching something really big and I'm really excited. And I hope you can be patient with me. I do that around fashion weeks. I'm like, I'm going to be working late. You know, mommy's going to be a bit distracted. And so I think when you're honest with kids, they're also like, oh, cool. My mom's doing something awesome. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, we know she's going to be stressed.
Yeah.
But I won't lie to you. Like my kid would be like, mommy, play dinosaurs. And I'd be like, okay. And I'm playing dinosaurs and I'm like looking at my phone, making sure our event is going to, you know? And so that's just part of life. And I think it's accepting that and trying to be as aware, like, when you're aware of it and you're like, okay, good. I don't like this feeling. What can I do to change it? Or how do I do this better next time? But it did help that during most of the most stressful book launch stuff, they were in school from 9 to 5. So it's not like I was homeschooling them and trying to launch a book. Like they were out of my hair and I could focus.
Yeah. That's a big key thing to be able to have.
Yeah.
Very helpful. Well, thank you so much for doing this. This was so awesome. And I loved being able to chat and also just see the realness of mom life and being, you know, somebody who balances being a female entrepreneur and also a working mom and also just being really real about the level and the importance put on communication, which not only in your partnerships, but also just business in general is, it seems like for you, the biggest thing is communication.
For sure. And I think that one more rule I'll share is like, I don't complain to my friends about my relationship with my husband. If I have a complaint, I go directly to the source. I've never found that all that talking gets anyone anywhere except into fights. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's been extraordinarily helpful. But again, if you need help communicating at work, practice with someone who will give you that critical feedback. It's so important to get clarity on how to speak to people.
Yeah. Yeah, having people around you that just tell it to you like it is. I think having people you can use as a soundboard is to be able to, you know, have those conversations, practice those things. My sister and I do that all the time, but being able to have that with a person in your life is important. I also love the idea of not, you know, gossiping to your girlfriends all the time about anything with your husband. I think that's a great little nugget of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
This oh my gosh. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day. I'll let you get back to your kids.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.